people.
Don't you know?
Places.
Don't you know?
Events.
Don't you know?
From the campus of Winona State University, KQAL-FM is proud to present...
Don't you know?
Now, here with Everything Winona, here's Terry Tenseth.
Oh, don't you know?
Good afternoon, and thanks for tuning in for Don't You Know? On March 19th at Winona State University in Sompson Auditorium, Will Hesch gave a talk about his tiny house. Will built his tiny house in an effort to reduce his carbon footprint. And since there was only a 5-minute time slot to talk about the tiny house at the Winona Variety Show, a lot of people were very intrigued and wanted to know more. So today we have Will visiting with us, where we will get more detail on his tiny house. You're listening to Don't You Know? Well, why did you decide to build a tiny house?
Well, I've been kind of looking for the next thing forward in my life, and I'd been planning things for quite a while, and I wasn't sure what exactly I wanted to do, but I knew that I wanted to be off-grid and kind of going back to the land in a new way, not the way that people did back to the land a generation ago, but a modern, forward-looking back to the land.
So it's kind of a conservation effort, too?
Well, for me, it's very much coming from my studies of environmentalism, my studies of my knowledge of what's going on with the climate change, our own role in that. I also traveled the world for a while. I was overseas for about 11 months, close to a year, and I got a chance to kind of see the way that people lived around the world. I stayed in little tiny apartments in Amsterdam and in the Netherlands. And I also lived in China for a while and was there kind of, you know, in the countryside and seeing that people live in a variety of ways. And a lot of the things that we take for granted or take as a must really aren't. A lot of the places that I were, people had electricity, but so little that it really, it's just minuscule compared to the amount of electricity that we use. So this kind of propelled me into thinking from the ground up on how we live our lives, how we live our houses, how we construct our cities. And it brought me to this small house.
So when did you decide, okay, I'm going to go ahead and do this?
It was about a year ago. So, you know, kind of last winter, I was thinking and planning and in the deciding stages of it, but I was still very much on the fence until about June of last year. And then June of last year, I was looking for trailers and that sort of thing. Then I found the perfect thing, bought it. And at that point, I knew that I was going to see the whole project through and have my house at the end of it.
So people get an idea of how tiny the tiny house is. What are the dimensions?
So the dimensions are it's 8.5 by 16 feet long. So that provides on the inside a little bit over 6 feet of space and about 15 feet of space on the inside of the house. There's also a loft on the inside, so that increases the living space in the bottom floor.
What was the first step exactly?
Well, the first step was to find a trailer. I wanted to, you know, I bought a basic utility trailer and it needed to fulfill many conditions of satisfaction. It had to be in good shape. And then I could start building on it. So I began by putting in a subfloor so that I had something that was very flat and very level. And then I could build the walls up from there. And then I constructed the walls and insulated them and went through and then got into the kind of nifty systems that I could talk a little more about.
Go right ahead.
Okay. So the systems that are in place, with a small space, you can do a lot of cool construction things that people don't usually do with larger houses. For example, I got to use very nice Pella windows, which, you know, homeowners might know they're really good, but really expensive. It's not as much of a problem if you only have 4 windows in your whole house. I was also able to insulate the place very well. So they get into, it gets very technical into R values and stuff like that. But through putting in, you know, extra insulation, it's a much tighter structure than most people are willing to put into for a larger structure, again, for cost reasons.
Now, I remember when I was looking at the Variety Show, the insulation kind of had a metallic type look to it.
Yeah, there's a reflective Mylar insulation that reflects 96% of the heat that hits it. And I have absolutely no idea what that statistic means, but it works well. It creates a very tight house, a very tight living space on the inside, and the heat that hits it gets reflected back. And then I covered that over in all but one little spot with nice wood siding so that the interior looks very finished. Another thing that I did was a metal roof. So metal roofs are great, especially if you want to do any rainwater collection, and they last basically forever. But most people say, oh, but it's twice as expensive as shingles, so you can't do it. Again, with a small space, that was one of my lowest cost things to put together.
Yeah, I wish I had a metal roof, but it's insanely expensive.
They're fabulous, but difficult, not for everybody.
How many rooms would you say are technically in this house? You said it's kind of like a duplex because of the height, right?
It's bi-level. So yeah, bi-level. There's a sleeping loft that's in there, and that, you know, there's not tons of space to move around in there. Basically, when you sit up, your head is close to the ceiling. But there's also, in the lower area, there's one large room that's kind of sectioned off into three little areas that I think of it, although some of the areas are right next to the other areas. One of them is kind of a workspace that's right next to the wood stove. And then there's the kitchen area. And then in the other end of the house, there's kind of a seating area for a couch, not television, but laptop sort of thing. And then the entryway is also there. And there's a porch outside. So
now, got to ask, is there a bathroom in there?
Well, no, I use an outhouse.
Okay.
It's possible to do multiple things. You can put a composting toilet in that really doesn't smell that much. Well, you can put a composting toilet in that doesn't smell if you use sawdust.
Right.
That sort of thing. There's many things that actually absorb smells. But I think it's just perfectly fine to have an outhouse. You know, dig a pit, build a little thing over it, and, you know, that's how people did it.
That's where it started.
People have done that for tens of thousands of years, and that's how they do it in China every day in many places.
You had mentioned there is a kitchen. Is that like stove and sink, or is it...
Yeah, that's a stove and sink. And let me talk a little bit about hot water as well.
Yeah.
The hot water comes from a solar thermal panel. So this is something that you pipe hot water into the bottom of it. And then as it's a copper with a black backing to it. And so as that heats up, it generates quite a lot of hot water fast. And then because heat rises, it thermosiphons up to a tank. And so then you can use that tank with gravity and you've got hot water coming out of the tank without pressurization and all the other things that we do. So that's, you know, how I get to the sink, the hot water. And then there's also a wood stove for heat that heats the whole place. And I'll be able to use that to cook. And then also I'll probably have a small propane burner stove for now.
Now, how do you get power to the actual house itself?
It's a combination of wind and solar. And then there's a set of batteries as well. I used to work for a person in renewable energy. So I've got this wind turbine on extended loan that as long as I'm using it, I can borrow it. But he doesn't want me to just put it into storage. The solar panels are a similar sort of situation. There were some around at a place and a full set of batteries. And people said, oh, okay, if you want to use that, use it as long as you want and give it back when you're done. So, you know, both of those things, which could have cost many thousands of dollars, I got on loan for free.
Now, are there any challenges of living in a tiny house in a Minnesota winter, for example?
Yeah. I mean, it's a very small space. And so as you start to heat the place up, as you're generating heat, it'll heat up really fast.
I'm sure.
And then it'll hold the heat. So that's why I did the super insulation, was not that it would be difficult to get it up to temperature, but to hold that temperature.
Because
you build a fire, let it burn out, and then it holds it for quite a while. And the space does hold heat quite well.
And you said with the insulated windows, like the pellas you were mentioning before, mm-hmm. really help with that and mm-hmm. double insulation. In the outside is a like kind of a log, or is it cedar siding?
Yeah, the outside I use cedar siding. Again, this is a material that's, in theory, it's local. I'm not sure exactly where the trees were that I used for those boards, but it'll last a very long time. It doesn't need a strong finish. Things like vinyl sidings are environmental pollutants. So, you know, that was one thing that is a simple way that we've done it and has worked to keep spaces dry for a very, very long time.
When I had originally met you at the Winona Variety Show, you had given some statistics about how much we currently use.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember some of those off the top of your head?
Yeah. This was just something that I saw up on campus here at the Frozen River Film Festival, and it was the amount of fossil fuels that we go through in our lifetime is truly staggering. The number was somewhere around 600,000 pounds of coal that each individual will go through just in electricity over the course of their lifetime. Something around 82,000 gallons of gasoline. So, and an equivalently staggering number of amount of natural gas, which was also how I came to this, was thinking about that and thinking that if I use that. That's all we pay for, all of that. 82,000 gallons of gas, it's spread out over the course of your lifetime, but you're working a huge amount of your life just to pay for petroleum.
Right.
So a big part of what I say with that, you know, back to the land, is I want to sort of rethink my life from the bottom up and look at my space and create my space the way that I want to be living in it. And then, and as I was designing it, I realized those fossil fuels, they're not a necessity at all. They are very much, they're there, but you don't need them. It's easy to get those requirements, the requirements of heat, some light during the evening, hot water is another one for dishes and showering. To get those sorts of things, it's very, very easy. And it doesn't require many fossil fuels, if any, at all. So my goal is to go towards carbon neutrality. So eventually, this is one huge stage of my project. From there, I'll also be working on electric vehicles. Maybe that'll be more like a bicycle or scooter, and maybe that'll be more like a big biodiesel truck. But, you know, I see this as one step forward towards the way that I really want to be living my life.
Now, are there other people that are doing this?
Certainly. There are, even, you know, in the Winona area, there's a huge amount of resources. I saw two different small houses before I even began. I was living in a boathouse prior to this, and boathouses are, you know, there's very few of them that are large. They're usually very small and have many of these same sort of considerations. I looked at several people's small houses. Now there's, on the internet, there's multiple websites, blogs, books that are out there. There's a really tremendous amount of information that's out there and an amount of support from this larger sort of cloud community that's around.
Would you say that's mostly like Midwesterners, or is it all over
it's all over the country. I think there's, of the people who are making them and selling them of this size, that's all out on the West Coast. And it seems like a few people around here are kind of dabbling in it. But in many ways, you know, people talk about this new tiny house thing, but it's not actually that new. When, you know, when my ancestors came here, and I would say this is probably true for most people, when they came here, they lived in little houses on prairies,
right?
You know, and so that is very much a part of our history, a part of our history that we're very proud of. And yet we've gotten very far away from it. The average house size in America is about 1,600 square feet. So that is, you know, over 100 times the size of my house.
Now, have you been living out of this tiny house for a while now? Or?
Well, I finished it up last fall.
Okay.
I've been in and out of it a little bit. You know, it's been, I've just had things going on in my life, and I haven't had a chance to truly finish it up the way that I want to. I can get down on that, or I can think that it is part of a process. I'm moving towards where I want to be at.
When you're not doing the tiny house thing, What is your profession?
Well, I'm currently a teacher, an educational assistant at the Winona Area Learning Center. And, you know, a few of the other things that I've done, like I said, I worked in the renewable energy field. I have volunteered on organic farms around the world. And those are the main things that I've done lately.
Do you think that in the future more people are going to move towards these tiny houses, or just think on a smaller scale instead of a larger scale?
Yeah, I really see that a lot. I see that, you know, the number of people that I've ran into who've talked about gardening and talked about different versions of this back to the land thing. I think that that is the direction that we are going, and I think it's the direction that we have to go, that there's a huge amount of consciousness raising that's happening right now. I really dislike how a lot of the way that we approach it is through guilt or fear-based discussions of it. I really think that part of the reason that I did my house was I said, okay, I don't want to feel guilty about this all the time. I want to do something about it. And so, you know, I had no construction experience. I knew this little bit about renewable energy and such, but it was something that I could start and do and take steps forward. And it is, you know, already my carbon footprint is lower because of the choices that I've made about it. And I just think that we have a responsibility to do that, and that will take many forms for many different people. I don't think there is one answer either. That's something that I hear a lot in the media is, well, maybe solar is the answer. Maybe this is the answer. And there isn't going to be one single one. So part of the reason that I like to talk about this is I'm saying, you know, here's an answer. This is my answer. So I encourage everybody to, if you care about this, if you care about the environment, to look for ways, approach it with creativity, and seek out ways that you can change your lifestyle.
That's very true, because what works for you might not work for a family of 10, let's say.
Yes, yeah, definitely.
Exactly. So everybody's got to find their own
Although I went down to Decorah, Iowa, and they have these old special museum of Swedish houses.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so in a place that was not a whole lot larger than mine, there was, I believe, a family of 8. Living in something that was about 16 by 16.
And what would happen on the East End with the Polish communities when they moved here, they'd buy one house and then cram I don't know how many families into it, you know, when they first immigrated to the area.
Yeah, and that is, you know, in terms of human terms, that's not exceptional at all.
Right.
You know, having 4 or 5 people in a space my size, you got to be cozy with them and you spend more time outside, but neither of those things are terrible. But in American terms, it's shocking. You know, people can't believe that I live in 120 square feet of space. And I think of it as, well, yes, I've got 120 square feet of enclosed space, but I've got tons of space outside the house. I like spending time out there and I get to.
That helps.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
if you like being outdoors, it really helps. If not, maybe Minnesota's not the state for you to try it. Well, thanks so much for coming to talk to us. If people want to learn more, where would you suggest they go?
Well, you know, Googling tiny houses is a great place to start. You can learn tons by doing that. You know, just learn about wind and solar. There's a huge amount that's there. One other project down the road is build your own wind turbine. That's something I'd like to do. But specifically, if you look on Facebook for Will's Tiny House, there's a picture of it. You can see it there.
Well, great. Thanks so much.
Great. Thank you.
A big thank you to Will Hesch for taking the time out for us here on Don't You Know to share with us information about his tiny house. You've been listening to Don't You Know.
Thanks for listening to Don't You Know. Support for this program is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Don't You Know is produced by KQAL-FM to keep you up to date on the people, places, and events in and around Winona. Visit us online at kqal.org.